This is Susie Larson. I want to thank you today for downloading this podcast from Live the Promise. I do hope you enjoy it. Thanks also for your continued support of Faith Radio. I want you to know you can donate anytime by clicking on the Support Faith Radio tab. Have a great afternoon, and God bless you. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson here with Tim Marks on the board, Gracie on the phones, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Welcome to Live the Promise. A very happy Thursday to you. And I got to tell you, tomorrow's the big day, the Great Mother's Day giveaway. As you know, we give gift baskets away a few times a year, and this is one of them. So tomorrow, I want you to come armed with your stories. I'm going to have my friend Kendra Smiley. She's an author, speaker, and we like to laugh that she's a two-time Mother of the Year winner in her small town because no one else is nominated the second year, I think. Anyway, she is actually a parenting expert, though, and she's great. And so together we're going to take your calls. We want to hear stories. So you can even call about your mom. Maybe there was a time your mom made an incredible sacrifice for you, but we're looking for mom stories and kids stories. And I have one little stipulation. If you're a woman, if you're a mom, you can tell a funny, cute story about your child or an endearing story from your perspective of being a mom. If you're a dude, it has to be a mom story. So either about your mom, about your wife and her mothering involving your children. But we're looking for funny stories. We're looking for heartfelt stories. So we're just going to be talking about parenting and some of the ups and downs of that, and then intermittently taking your calls. And at the end of the show, we'll choose the two best stories, and we're going to give away a couple of fun gift baskets. And so they're going to have girl stuff in them. So if you're a guy and you win, you'll have to give that to your mom or your wife or whoever that is. So be sure to be ready for that tomorrow. We're really, really looking forward to it. Well, today we're going to talk about what it means to engage in a deeper and more consistent prayer life. And maybe you've heard this story from me before. I don't know that I've shared it on the show, but I've shared it in speaking context before. But a number of years ago, I came home from a speaking event, and I'd been fasting and prepping for this event, and it was powerful. And God moved in a way that boggled my mind. I can't even explain it to you, but I, up to that point, had never experienced the presence of God. Actually, it was right here on the campuses of Northwestern College at a set-apart conference a number of years ago. But there was such a strong sense of God's presence in our midst that you almost didn't want to wreck it by talking. It was just so precious and beautiful. Well, I came home from that event. I crawled in bed to take a nap, and I just said, Lord, whatever that was, I want more of that. I want more of you. And I fell asleep, and I had this dream. And in the dream, it was like there were these dark clouds and purple and blue, and lightning was shooting through them. And underhead, people were just walking, doing their own thing, ignoring. But overhead, these clouds that were just right overhead represented the power of God. And every once in a while, someone would get in trouble, so they'd look up and they'd reach up and grab like a portion of the cloud and they'd put it on their situation and they'd go about their business. And then other people had more of a sense that this is an answer to what I need. And so a little bit more often, they would access that power, but then go on their way. But then there was one woman in the dream who just camped there and lived there. And everything that she did revolved around how she would reach up and lay hold of this power. And she put it on her kids and put it on her heart and put it on her marriage and put it on people walking by. And it was this interesting dream. Well, I woke up kind of just wondering about it. And at that moment, the Lord spoke to my heart and said, most of my people scratch the surface of what I've made available to them. And I think there's just going to be nothing sadder than at that moment. I mean, it's going to be a great moment when we see Jesus, but to know we had access to so much and we accessed so little because of our busyness, because of our unbelief, maybe because our ignorance of who God is and what he's offered us. So that's why we like to talk about the issue of prayer, the topic of prayer, on a pretty regular basis, because we have access to the Most High God. We are linked in fellowship with him. There is no greater gift, and there's nothing worth our time more than camping in the presence of God, praying when we're driving, when we're walking, when we're sitting, when we're resting, because it's a dialogue with the Most High, and it changes things on earth. So we had a prayer and praise day yesterday, and we couldn't even get to all your calls. So we're going to continue to open those phone lines. If we can stand with you in any way, do give us a call. I'm going to give you that number, 877-933-9933. 2484 again, 877-933-2484. Well, my guest today wrote the book, The Prayer Dare, Take the Challenge That Will Transform Your Relationship with God. His name is Ron Kincaid, and I'm going to give you a little introduction, and we're going to get him on the show. Ron Kincaid is the pastor of Sunset Presbyterian Church, where he has served as senior pastor for 27 years. God bless him. That's amazing staying power. The church began with 25 people in 1981, has grown to a community of 5,000. He's the author of four previous books and a popular speaker at retreats and conferences. He and his wife, Jory, live in Portland, Oregon. Welcome to the show, Ron. Great to have you with us today.
Good to be here with you.
Absolutely. Well, we like to start out the show with Scripture, and you chose Matthew 7, 9 through 11. Love this passage. What man among you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone, or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If then you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask of him? Talk to us about that passage.
Well, you know, we sometimes wonder why our prayers are not answered. Nothing demotivates us from prayer more than when something is not answered. And one reason our prayers may not be answered is because something we're asking for is really not good. And I had an experience quite a few years ago. I graduated from college in Portland, Oregon, and I came out to Trinity University for seminary in Chicago. And I had a girlfriend here in Portland that I was dating, and I think if things had continued in the path they were on, we probably would have gotten married. So I came back to see her during Christmas vacation, and we had a wonderful 4 days together. And the last night after we exchanged our Christmas gifts, she said, "I think we should put the brakes on our relationship." I said, okay.
Didn't see that coming, did you?
Yeah, I assumed she wanted to just kind of tap the brakes lightly and slow the love train down, but I soon learned she wanted to slam them hard and move to a new set of tracks. Mm. So I came back to Chicago for winter term, and I was depressed. And I remember kind of moping around for as long as 5 or 6 weeks, just kind of whining and saying, "God, please help me get back with my girlfriend, change her mind." And I'm doing that kind of prayer every day. And then one day I read this passage, "Which of you fathers, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him?" And I said, "God, I don't think I've ever understood this quite before. It sounds like you only give good gifts. And I've been pleading with you to get back with my girlfriend. That's obviously not happening. So it must be a good gift. Maybe it, you know, means you have something better for me. So I'll tell you what, I'm going to quit complaining and, you know, griping, and I want you to know, if you want me to be single, I'll be single. And or if you have somebody better for me, I'm ready to meet her." And from that moment on, I got off my knees and went about my way, and, you know, I was much more upbeat and, you know, back into life again. And it was about 6 weeks later that God brought Jory into my life, who is now my wife, and she's far better suited to me than the other gal would have been. And the reason God didn't answer my prayer is because he had somebody better for me. And so God only gives good gifts. So sometimes we have to understand, if our prayers don't seem to be answered, maybe it's not a good request, or he's got something better for us.
You know, there's a scripture that says in so many words, wisdom's path is always peace. And I found it interesting when I was reading that story in your book that, you know, you felt like you were knocking your head against the wall, but when you came to that place of surrender, like maybe there's something better. If I remember right, you had some real peace when you came up from that prayer, didn't you?
You bet, yeah.
There was real life in it. That's really amazing. Well, we already have a call, and I didn't know there was another Nashville other than Tennessee, but it's Akshaba from Nashville. Is that Arkansas?
Yes.
Wow. Hi. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Susie. It's such an honor to talk to you because you're a woman after my own heart, and I'm just so blessed by your book. I've been in that place where you were given the analogy about the dream that you had, that we have so much to obtain from the Father, and God has made himself so real and answered miraculous ways. But I feel like the cares of life have kind of like caused me to drift away from that intimacy. And I would want to know, what's your suggestion? I know it's just to just stop what you're doing and just go, because you feel him calling you and pulling you, and you're longing for him because he's the lover of your soul and you love him so much as well. It's just how to get back in that.
That's a great question. Hang on, I'm going to have Ron speak to that, and then I have a few things to share as well. Ron, what do you have to say to Akshaba?
Well, you know, I said that one of the things that demotivates us from praying is when our prayers are not answered and we feel kind of far from God. But one of the things that motivates me certainly to pray and makes me feel closer to God is when I see answers to prayer. And so I wrote this book to encourage people to go on a 40-day dare and to pray and see God work in their lives. And so you know, that's one thing I would encourage you, you know, to be praying and making specific requests of God and then watching to see him interact and how he answers. And I think that will draw you in closer. Each morning, one of the first things I do is I sit down and I write down answers to prayer from the day before. And, you know, there's usually two or three. And that motivates me to pray again. And I see that God loves me, and he's dealing with me, he's answering my prayer. So that would be one suggestion of how you might get a sense of being more close to God again.
Thanks, Ron. Akshaba, I can tell that you're a woman after my heart as well, a soul sister. I can definitely tell. I want to tell you something that, you know, that comes to me as Ron was talking is a scripture. It's not that we loved God, but that he loved us. And for me, when I start to feel like I'm kind of floating away from that place of intimacy, I just remind myself again of who he is and of his great love for me. Because I think when we're not living in response to his love, we live in reaction to our circumstances. And I say this all the time, but then it becomes these ought to's and these should do's. But I would just encourage you, not only, as you said, sit with him, be with him, but in that place, remind yourself of who he is, who you are to him, what you possess in him, because those are such great motivators as well. You'll get a copy of Ron's book, and I'm sure you'll enjoy it, so I'm glad you called. Well, how about you? How can we stand with you in prayer? Or maybe you've got comments about what you're hearing us talk about today. You want to chime into the whole conversation around prayer. We'd love to hear your insights as well. 877-933-2484. We've got a couple more books of Ron's to give away. 877-933-2484. Ron, you issue sort of a caution and a warning on your promo material. I even think on the back of your book about stepping into this prayer dare. Talk about that.
Yeah, well, it's I am, you know, the book kind of started when I read about 18 months ago The Love Dare, on how to love your mate and grow in love. And I thought, why couldn't I do the same thing with prayer? For 40 days, dare people to pray, and so each chapter, you know, has a scripture that I talk about, and then there's an answer to prayer. It's usually came out of my prayer journal, and then a challenge to pray in some way. And so I'm daring people to go with me for 40 days or as many days as possible in a row, and in praying in maybe some new ways to see if they can grow in their prayer life and experience more exciting intimacy with God.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you just tuned in today, I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. I'm talking to pastor and author Ron Kincaid about his book, The Prayer Dare. We got a couple copies to give away. If you want to chime into the conversation, talk to us about how you cultivate a thriving prayer life, or maybe you've got some questions on how to do that exactly, 877-933-2484. Again, 877-933-2484. Ron, in the opening lines of your book, I appreciated this. You said, I challenge you to commit to praying for a set amount of time, and I invite you to pray like you've never prayed before. I dare you to enter into a deeper relationship with God through prayer. That just speaks, I love the dare, but it speaks of initiative, doesn't it?
Yep. God asks us to pray, and let me tell you kind of the seeds of how this book began, Susie. I came back to Trinity University in Chicago, and the Young Life staff in the Chicago area asked me to lead the Deerfield Young Life Club, and they said, come on out Saturday night, barbecue, meet the kids. And so I came out, and they said, here's your new Young Life leader, and there were 18 girls and two guys. And I drove home that night, and I thought, God, there's no way I can start a Young Life Club when I only know two guys. And so I said, God, I think I need to know 50 guys before I start, so help me meet them. So that next Monday, I went to the school, and as I walked up to the door, I said, God, you got to help me find Mike O'Shea or Mark Hogan, the two guys I met. Otherwise, I'm not going to meet anybody. And this is a large school, 2,600 students. And I opened up the front door, and there was only one student walking down the huge corridor, and it was Mike O'Shea. And he said, hi, Ron. And he was just going to lunch, and he probably introduced me to 25 of his friends. And as I left that day, I knew good and well that God had answered my prayer. And so many amazing things were happening in my life that at that point I started keeping a journal of answers to prayer. And that was one of the first ones that went in there. And today I have over 40,000 answers to prayer that I've recorded. And it just, you know, encourages me every day when I write down another request that's been answered that I know God is working in my life and doing things in our family and our ministry. And so I encourage people to take the initiative to, you know, pray and more specifically make requests that are specific and see what God does.
You know, Scripture calls us to remember what God has done. And, I mean, you are someone, you know, if you've recorded over 40,000 answers, you're someone who will not forget the faithfulness of God. It's just, to me, I would think it would just download it in you that you know that you know that you know that he means what he says. I think that's so great. Well, we have a couple of copies left of Ron's book to give away. I see the calls coming in. The title, The Prayer Dare, Take the Challenge That Will Transform Your Relationship with God. Give us a call, 877-933-2484. Jennifer from Minneapolis has a great comment. Welcome to the show, Jennifer.
Hi, Susie.
How are you?
I'm awesome. Thanks so much for taking my call. I greatly admire you, and you're just one of my greatest teachers. I've just gleaned so much from you.
Wow, bless you. Thank you. Well, you look like you have a great comment here. Let's hear it.
Well, regarding prayer, I've just learned, I've got three small children, and I've just learned that as the Holy Spirit prompts me to follow it immediately, and sometimes it's in the morning or sometimes it's at odd times, but I've found that when I depend on myself to remember to pray or to be energized to prayer, it's just not there, not always with the busy schedules and the demands that I have just my everyday life, but when the Holy Spirit is calling my attention, it's usually just calm and still. And if I'm washing dishes, just pray right then. And you can't go wrong. And it's always a blessing. My day turns out wonderful.
I love it, Jennifer. And that reminds me, we've had Jennifer Kennedy Dean on a few times. And she says, not that she's opposed to prayer lists. Of course, have prayer lists. But she said that those can become rote, too. But when you start walking that way where you're obeying those nudges, that's when your prayer life it has life in it. So I love what you're saying. And you get a copy of Ron's book. Let's take Rachel's call from Elk River. Welcome to the show, Rachel.
Thank you.
How are you?
I'm fine, thanks.
Good. What do you have to say to us today?
Well, my question is, recently my 10-year-old daughter is telling me that she just doesn't feel close to God. And she's kind of going through a stage where she's sort of doubting her faith kind of too. And so sometimes I don't know if I just feel just this heavy burden that I'm not really sure what the answer. Sometimes I'll tell her, well, honey, then we need to, you know, confess your sins or repent. Perhaps that's separating you from God. And I guess because she's 10, sometimes I struggle myself, you know, with not feeling close to God. And I guess that's my question. What do I tell her? How do I help draw my 10-year-old daughter closer to God when she's going through those times when she doesn't feel close to God?
Fabulous question. Go ahead, Ron. How do you want to answer that?
Well, you know, it's Jesus' disciples came to him and said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. And they often woke up in the morning and he was gone, and he was out early praying, and they saw him pray through the night. And so they thought, wow, if he prays this much, he's the Son of God. We certainly need to pray more, but, you know, we run out of things to say in a few minutes. So they said, teach us to pray. And he answered with what we've come to know, Rachel, as the Lord's Prayer. And he says, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven. And if you think about that, that kind of sets the whole thing up. It puts it in context of who you're praying to. And if you can help your daughter see that you're praying to a father who loves you, fathers love their kids, and so he loves you, and so he cares about you deeply, but he's not just any father. He's in heaven. He's the creator. He's the you know, great God. He's strong. He's powerful. And so he loves He loves her, and he's strong enough to handle any problem she faces. It kind of gives you the right attitude when you come to him, and maybe that would help your daughter see that, God loves me, and he can handle anything I'm facing.
You know, and I'd like to add to that too, Rachel, and my boys are grown now, but when I had one especially that was just highly emotional, and the world sort of revolved around him a little bit, but he would go through those times and have breakdowns. I don't feel God's presence, and he would make a real big deal of it. But together, we would come together and pray, like Ron is saying, you know, acknowledging how big God is. But together, I would ask God, give me a discernment about what I can pray with Luke so that he can, on his own, in his world, see answers to prayer. And so, Lord, would just guide me, you know, pray about this friendship. Pray about this one teacher. And so together, I'd wrap him up and say, we're going to go to God about this thing that you care about, this tough teacher or this friend. And he would start to see answers and see God's fingerprints, and it would cultivate his own thirst and his own knowledge that God is real and God is good. So hopefully that helps you. Joyce, by the way, Rachel, thank you so much for calling. But Joyce from Maple Grove, you've got a great question. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you. And thank you for having him as a guest with this topic. This is very timely.
Good.
I just wanted to say, you know, my prayer time with the Lord is just a continuous conversation throughout the day. I'm a single mom of two, and so it's just I've learned to incorporate him just in my daily, you know, going about and activities so that it's just an ongoing conversation. But then earlier you touched on a point of dedicating a set-aside time of prayer with the Lord, and that I've struggled in that, so I'm really hoping your book can help in that. To just set that side of time. I've done it early in the morning before they wake up. Then I've done it at night when I put them to bed. But it hasn't been consistently the one set time. And I just wanted to know your thoughts on that.
Great question. And I know, Joyce, you speak for many. So go ahead, Ron. I'll let you answer that one.
Well, you know, Joyce, I pray throughout the day. When I'm riding my bike or driving in the car, going about my day, I think it's very important that we have an ongoing conversation with God. But I think it's also important that we spend quality time with him where we're not doing anything else. At one point, I feel like God convicted me that I was just giving him the leftovers. You know, I'm driving, I might as well talk to him, you know. And so Jesus says, enter into your closet and pray to your Father in secret. That's sort of a practice that most of us have let slip in recent years. We're so busy, we're so active, we're on the go. And so I do believe, I want to encourage you with your practice either night or morning sometime to sit down and pray and just kind of nothing but prayer. You're just with God and doing that. And I think he honors that when we take the best time of our day and give it to him and set that aside. That communicates that prayer is so important that it's worth dedicating some time to it.
Wow, well said. And Joyce, I'm thinking about you as a single mom and how much God loves you and how proud he is of you that you even have an earnest heart for him. And, you know, my situation, I wasn't single, but as you probably know if you listen, when my kids were young, I was battling a disease, so I was really hanging on by a thread. And what I would do in those times, just trying to get to those quiet times, was I would just consider it a tithe of the time. I'd say, Lord, I'm giving you this chunk of time. Will you multiply it? Multiply my strength, my time, my space, so I can have more time with you. I just kept showing up, and it was really supernatural how God parted the waters and honored that little initial gift of 10 minutes, then 30 minutes, and he broadened the time and deepened the time. And so go at it with knowing he loves you. He's so proud of you. Give him what you have and then say, Lord, make room for more. Call me, draw me to more, and he will reward you for earnestly seeking after him. God bless you, Joyce. We've got, is it Nora? Tim, we got Nora? Oh, no, we can take Nora real quickly. Nora wants to offer praise to God. Hi, Nora. We have to go to a hard break in about 2 minutes, so I don't want to cut you off, but I want to give you a chance to share your praise. Let's hear it.
Well, I just praise God for healing my precious mother. She wasn't doing so well on her birthday. When I entered in the nursing home, I said, this is nothing difficult for you, Lord. So I called all my friends, and they shared with me their concern by praying for her. And I would just blessed because God loves me and he was more concerned about her than I was. And she's that was her birthday, and she's healed now. She's doing better, but I believe God to even do the more complete work that he's going to do. And I always have drawn to Song of Solomon, how he says that he'll draw me and I can run after him. And that's for my family and for myself. And also, I'm believing God for a miracle to hear from a lost loved one I've not heard from before. And I'm going to do that 40-day dare.
Good for you.
Dare God to believe, dare him and believe him for miracles.
Yes. Well, thank you, Nora. You're going to enjoy the book, and it'll be a great challenge to you. And I'm so glad for your testimony. We have about a minute and a half before our hard break. We're on. We've got calls coming in, and those, the ones that are waiting on hold, we have to get to you after the break. But with our minute left before break, Ron, what is probably the one of the most significant answers to prayer you've received in your walk with the Lord?
Well, I mean, God has done just amazing miracles all the time. I mean, we have had Easter services, and I prayed, you know, not for my glory, but that God would, you know, bring people to him. And we've seen, you know, scores of people give their lives to Christ on Easter after Easter here. And to know that he can take a message and make it work for people of all ages and all different places in their faith, from, you know, first time they've been in church in maybe ever to, you know, people that have, you know, been Christians for a long time, and take a message and make it work for everybody. And so those are just big answers to prayer when people come to Christ.
That's a miracle in itself, isn't it, that he'd take that same message and minister to so many people. Well, we're taking a short break here. The title of the book is The Prayer Dare. Take the challenge that will transform your relationship with God. It's a 40-day dare. On the other side of the break, we're going to talk about what it just means to ask, what it means to come before God and ask. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. More in a moment. So glad you tuned in today. Thanks so much for listening. We're talking about one of my favorite topics, and that is prayer. My guest today is Ron Kincaid, author of the book The Prayer Dare. He's also a pastor, written several books, and we're just talking about what it means to get into the presence of God. And we're going to start talking about asking and talking about persistence. We'd love to hear from you. Give us a call, 877-933-2484. Again, 877-933-2484. Bud has been waiting very patiently, and he's got a question for you, Ron. Welcome to the show, Bud.
Yes, thank you.
Sorry about the wait. How are you doing today?
Doing very well, thank you.
Good. What's your question?
My question is, what does Ron think of visualizing in prayer? I particularly like Psalm 95, where God is presented as king and also as shepherd, and it helps me to sense God's presence by visualizing, not in a sense of seeing his face, but just the presence of a being on a throne and a shepherd, perhaps a shepherd holding his sheep, and we as his people. I know that some have questions about visualizing in prayer, but this has been helpful to me, and I want to know what Ron thinks about that.
Wow, good question, Bud. What do you think, Ron?
Well, sounds great, Bud. I mean, visualizing, you know, it's important to know who we're praying to, and if we can visualize God in his greatness, whatever it be, and on the throne or with Christ at his side, gives us a better picture of to whom we're praying. I think that's fantastic. So, you know, I can't say I've done a lot of that, thought about that, but you kind of nudged me there that's a great, great thing to do.
You know, I'm such a visual person, and living in the upper Midwest with long winters, which we won't get into because I talk about it way too much on the show. But anyway, when we have 6 months of winter and I'm so desperate to see mountains or water, and when I pray, I just, you know, and I look at scripture that he made the mountains and the sea, just picturing like those kinds of pictures in my mind. Do so much for me. And so I love the question, and Ron, I loved your answer. I'd love to hear from you, 877-933-2484. In the book, I love that you reference Jim Cimbala's daughter, and that was the chapter that these things come out only by prayer. I don't remember the name of Only by Prayer was the name of the chapter. Talk about that chapter, because you referenced the scripture where Jesus was saying in Mark, these things come out only by prayer, where there's just times where we need to, you know, dig in. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, you know, a man came to Jesus one day with his demon-possessed child and asked them to cast out the demon, and they couldn't do it. And then Jesus came down from being transfigured on the mountain, and man ran up to him and said, could you heal my son and cast out this demon? And Jesus did. And then later, the disciples came to him and said, how come we couldn't cast out the demon? And Jesus said, this kind comes out only by prayer. And he's talking about the demonic, certainly, but I think the thing in the book, The Prayer Dare, I encourage us to think about is that there are lots of things in life that can only be overcome by prayer. Prayer is so powerful. It's how we tap into God's great power, his resurrection power, the power of the Holy Spirit, and there are a lot of things we're facing in our lives that we don't have any answers to, maybe with our marriage or with a child or with a parent or a job, or and only by prayer are you going to overcome this situation. And so recognizing how much power there is in prayer, and so coming to God in prayer.
Yeah, and you referenced the story of Jim Cimbala. His daughter had kind of run away, walked away from the faith, and they hadn't seen her for a long time. And in the prayer meeting, tell me again, there was a woman, I think, that said, this is Chrissy's night, or this is the night we're supposed to.
Sort of like the previous caller, this woman was nudged by God that we should pray for Jim's daughter, and so they did. And as Jim went home that night, he said to his wife, if there's a God in heaven, I think our daughter's coming home. And sure enough, she came home the next morning. She'd been on the streets, and she, you know, the prayers reached her. God spoke to her, nudged her to come home, and they clearly believed that she came home only by prayer. And, of course, she came back to Christ, and she's now, you know, wife of a pastor, and they have three kids, and they're involved in ministry, and her life's been turned around.
You know, we've had her on the show before, and she told her story of that very night when his church was on their knees, on their faces before the Lord. She was having a face-off with the enemy and with the two kingdoms, you know, clashing overhead. And we have a short clip of what happened once she decided to come home. Let's hear that real quick. Here it comes.
My parents, that Tuesday night, they went home. And my dad, they had cried. You can imagine the tears over those years that they cried and pleading with me, and they tried everything. But Dad said to Mom on Tuesday night, he said, Carol, if Chrissy does not come home tonight, there is not a God in heaven, because we touched the throne of heaven tonight with our prayers. Well, within 48 hours of that Tuesday night, I drove up to the house with little Susie Joy, who Dad had never seen before. I knocked on the door, and it had gotten to the place that year, especially, where I would come to the door, Dad couldn't even receive me because he loved me too much and he couldn't condone my lifestyle anymore, which I so understand what he needed to do. But that day, he ran down those stairs, and I remember him having shaving cream all over his face because he knew I had come home. And you have to excuse me because it makes me cry every time.
Well, I'm crying here too, so that's okay.
And I came in the house, and I remember walking right to the kitchen, and I felt so compelled to fall on my knees with, here my little girl was there, I think Mom was holding her, and I said, Lord, forgive me, before my parents, forgive me, Mom and Dad, forgive me. And in my heart, I was saying, Lord, make me that little girl, cleanse me, make me new like it never happened, oh God. And I felt, when I tell you that there's a process into sin and there's a process out of sin, but at that moment, the cleansing power of Jesus Christ came upon me.
You know, she was in so deep, and prayer changed everything. Prayer brought heaven to earth and mobilized and moved and intervened. Such a powerful story. Ron, you also in that chapter tell a story of two University of Oregon students that I thought was so powerful. I wondered if you'd also share that story.
Yeah. You know, back in the 70s, 80s, there wasn't much influence for Christ on the campus of the University of Oregon, and so a couple students started praying. and they prayed, and they decided to kind of take the promise that God made to Joshua, wherever you walk in the land of Canaan, I'll give you that land. And so they started walking around the campus and praying for God to move and draw students to Christ and professors. And, you know, they felt stupid for a while doing this and not much was happening. But after a while, the Campus Crusade chapter began to grow, and Josh McDowell came to campus, and scores of kids gave their lives to Christ, and it became the biggest Campus Crusade group in, I think, in the country in terms of colleges. And and then these students, they went on and to Beirut, a couple of them later, and they decided, well, we'll use the same practice here. And so they started praying, walking through Beirut, and they kind of had a route. They went and they prayed, and then the 1982 war came, Lebanon and Israel, and lots of bombing, and so they had to stop their walks. And then after the bombing stopped and they were able to walk again, they went walking through Beirut, and they couldn't figure it out. On one, you know, the city was just kind of totally devastated in certain places, but in other places it was completely fine, and they realized that's where they had walked and prayed. And God had protected all those areas. And so they just kind of learned in a visual way how powerful prayer is and God's protection. And so only by prayer. There's just so much that can only be done by prayer. But we've got to take this prayer dare and mm-hmm. believe that prayer is powerful and take the time to get alone with God and pray.
You know, I wonder what would happen if each of us took the challenge and we walked through our neighborhoods, prayer walked on a regular basis. We might not see on this side of heaven, but imagine marriages healed and children who were going to rebel who didn't.
Yeah.
Well, I just challenge you listening that go for a walk a couple times a week, pray through your neighborhood, and who knows what could happen. Well, I intended, this time has just whipped by, I intended to walk through a number of the dares. We have about 8 minutes left to take your calls if you want to get into the conversation. We'd sure love to hear from you. 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. Okay, so I'm going to take this dare out of order, day four. Pray when you fear that God won't give you the answer. Praying when you fear that God won't give you the answer. And you actually referenced the same scripture you opened up with. So talk about that. When you're praying, when you're even thinking, he's probably not going to answer me.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it starts with understanding who we're praying to, that, you know, if we think God won't answer our prayer, we're probably not too motivated to come to us. But it comes out of the parable of the friend at midnight. Jesus tells this story of a guy who's in bed, and there's a knock at the door, and he gets up, and it's a stranger, a friend, and he invites him in, and then to his horror, he discovers he doesn't have any food, doesn't have any bread. So what's he going to do? You have to be hospitable, particularly in Middle Eastern culture. And so he goes to his neighbor, and he says, well, I'll ask him. So he knocks on his door, and his neighbor is not impressed. He's asleep, and all his family's asleep. They have all the animals inside. And, you know, to get up, he's going to wake up everybody. And this guy starts knocking, and he says, leave me alone. I'm in bed. And he keeps knocking, and so finally the guy gets up and gives him the bread that he needs. And then Jesus makes the point from the lesser to the greater, you know, if this neighbor gets up and gives you bread you need, how much more your Father, who never sleeps and who loves you, will give you all that you need. And to understand that God loves us and longs to meet our needs much more than our neighbor, you know, when we fear that God won't give us what we want, it's probably because we have the wrong view of him.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, he's begrudging, he doesn't want to be bothered, he's asleep in bed, and it's quite the opposite. He loves us, he's always awake and ready, and so we can come to him with any need that we have.
Excellent. And you have another chapter on praying with confidence. Make the case for that.
Well, you know, a lot of us pray kind of a bargaining sort of a posture. We think, you know, God, I've been pretty good. I've been spending time with you. I go to church. you know, and you owe me one. You owe me this healing or this this job or whatever it is we're asking for. And I've come to realize that's not a very powerful position in prayer, because the truth is I sin every day, I make lots of mistakes, and so if I'm coming on the basis of how good I am, it's a pretty weak position. And in Hebrews, we're told to come boldly to the throne of grace, and it's based on what Jesus did, that he died for all of our sins, that they've been forgiven, and on the basis of his, what he's done for us, we can come with confidence. And so I encourage people not to pray on the basis of what they've done, but on the basis of what Jesus has done. And it's kind of like just you pray for his mercy and his kindness and the basis of that. So one of the dares is I just encourage people to say, Lord, would you be merciful to me today in this issue? Not because I've earned it, but just because you're a compassionate and gracious God.
Mm-hmm. Love that. We have Joseph who's been on hold, and he has a question. Good question about how men can pray when they tend to compartmentalize their day. Joseph, welcome to the show.
Hi there. Thank you for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
Well, basically, I was just thinking about, and I really appreciate the broadcast today, but I was thinking that the past month or so I've heard on the same station here, multiple broadcasts on the idea of thinking in how men think in boxes and compartmentalize everything. And I know for myself, I do a lot of traveling for work, and once I get into the work mode of my day, I just go, take one thing at a time and prioritize instead of seeking the Lord in that prioritizing. And I've been struggling with that for years, trying to include God in that box. Instead of just hanging out in that box by myself. I'm really excited about your book and the concept of thinking about the 40 different challenges. So I know it's a bad habit that I've gotten in, and I seriously want to change that habit. So didn't know if you could make a comment on that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's true. In general, men tend to compartmentalize, and it's one of the things that gives us our strengths. We can focus on work and just put everything else out of our minds, and that's why we can make such great achievements in various areas. So it's not at all a bad thing, Joseph. But, you know, when you're at work, you want God to be part of that too. And so I would encourage you to be praying throughout your day. You've got I don't know what you do, but, you know, you've got an appointment that matters, a sale you need to make, or a product you have to deliver, and you're concerned about how it's going to go, and you pray about that, and my goodness, you see that, wow, God helped me with that. And so I would encourage you all through that compartmentalized work time to bring God into that through prayer.
Thanks so much, Joseph. Let's talk for a minute, Ron, about persistence in prayer and the importance of that, because there's some answers we see right away, but a lot of them we need to hang in there. So talk about the whole idea of persistence.
Yeah, God encourages us to pray and keep on praying. When the disciples asked Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray, you know, he says, ask and you'll receive, and he uses the present tense, so it's keep on asking, keep on knocking, keep on praying. And so, you know, I have people, neighbors, friends that I've prayed for years that they would come to know Christ, and I'm not going to give up on them. And so we just need to keep on asking. And I share, I think, a couple stories in there of George Mueller, who prayed for 52 years for a couple friends of his to come to know Christ, and that's a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And one came to Christ, I think, just before George died, and one came to Christ after George died, so he didn't even know about it, but keep on praying.
Well, that kind of coincides with one of our listeners called in and says, God, at times, his answer is not yet, because he's working in our life. And so, you know, we get changed in the process, too, when we pray, right?
You bet.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of your dares, I think it's in Recognize the Power of Prayer. Your dare is to ask God to move a mountain. I love that. Can you think of some examples from your life when you asked God to move a mountain?
Oh, goodness. All kinds of them.
You're surrounded by mountains, aren't you?
Yeah, well, yeah, we got that. But, you know, I'll go all the way back to when I first started keeping a prayer journal, and I was asked to lead this Young Life Club in Deerfield. There's only 20 kids, and here's this big school, and I said, God, God, you love these students and you want to know them, help us. And, you know, that club grew to 300 kids, and a couple hundred of them gave their lives to Christ. Talk about mountains being moved and homes being changed. Parents got all excited. They saw their kids change. And I'll tell you, those are pretty exciting days, and he moved some real big mountains. So some kids that had no interest in God came to Christ.
Wow. You know, there's just nothing else like prayer when you think about it, that we engage the Father's heart and his resources, and they come to bear on our circumstances. You know, and yet you wrote about this, and we've had a number of prayer people on the show, and they all say the same thing, that prayer is the lowest attended meeting at church. Why is that? Is it because we don't understand what we have in prayer?
Yeah.
And who
well,
we have?
It could be that. I'm convinced that most people don't realize how important prayer is. That is one of the means God has given us where we hook up with his power and can access his power, the power of the Holy Spirit in this world. And so they don't give enough time to it. You know, we're more activists, and we think doing things is what matters, and planning and working and all that. So, but yeah, you know, every year I call people for the National Day of Prayer to come out and pray, and most years I'm disappointed with the turnout, you know. You know, out of thousands in a church to, you know, get less than 100 to come to pray is kind of disappointing. But, you know, we're called to pray. We're called to pray for our leaders. So I encourage people certainly today to be praying for President Obama, our governors, our leaders. It's important.
Well, we've got about 5 minutes left to take your calls. We sure love to hear from you. 877-933-2484. Again, 877-933-2484. Our associate producer, Grace, said she's hating to have to tell people there's no more copies and they're crushed because they're being impacted by what you're saying. So, Ron, we're going to get a hold of your publicist and see if we can get a handful more copies for our callers. So I don't know why I'm telling you that, but there you go. So let's talk about the prayer, dear. We've had so many calls, we haven't been able to get it really in. Is there, you know, is it precept upon precept? You have 40 days. Do they kind of build on each other, would you say?
Pretty much. There was kind of an order to it of building one upon the other. And toward the end, I get into praying for leaders. And since this is the National Day of Prayer, I just do want to say that it is, Paul tells us in 1 Timothy 2 to pray for our leaders. And 54 pastors in Springfield, Illinois, got together in 1860 to pray for President Lincoln. And when they got together and they kind of went around the room and introduced themselves, they found out that not a single one of them had voted for him. But nevertheless, they prayed for him, and he could make the case that he became the greatest president in the history of our country. And so I just want to encourage people to pray for our leaders. It doesn't matter if you agree with their policies or if you voted for them. We're called to pray for them, and God can turn a country around if my people, who are called by my name, humble themselves and pray, and he can heal our country. So rather than complaining about our leaders and complaining about what's going wrong with our country, instead to turn those into prayers to God. There's great power in prayer, and I want to encourage everybody to do that.
I love that you said that, because I don't even understand the thinking that we not, if you disagree with the leader, that you not pray with them. Are they not more blessed, and don't they benefit more by God's influence? I mean, wouldn't you want that?
Yeah.
You think so, huh?
You bet.
Okay, well, we've just got a couple of minutes left, but I'm just going to just list the first few days so that people can see how these things build. So the first one is day one. You have to ask, and you go with the scripture in James. You have not because you ask not. And then when you ask for the wrong motives. But just say a word or two about that's the start. You have to ask.
Well, I mean, it goes without saying that if we're going to see answers to prayer, we're going to see God work in our lives, we have to bring him requests. And some people have confessed that they go through a whole day without giving God anything specific that they've requested of him. And so I'm just saying, folks, let's ask and make it specific.
And we've talked about this before on the show, but it bears repeating in case anybody missed it. But who was it? Bruce Wilkinson made the observation. Somebody asked him, you know, it was kind of like this martyr mentality. Well, I can't really ask. Those are some selfish requests. And he said, you know, it would be selfish if by you getting what you need from God would be less for me. But God is an infinite supply. So by you asking for your needs to be met, it doesn't mean that you're pulling on anybody else's resources. And I think we sometimes have a wrong view even of his supply, don't we?
Right.
Okay, day two, know to whom you are praying.
Right. We talked about that. Our Father in heaven, we got to realize that he loves us and he's strong.
Amen. And we talked about this one, too. Understand that God is willing. That's day three. And then we talked about day four. Pray when you fear that God won't give you the answer. So we did cover some of these, but just in different order. Number five, day five, we just have a minute left to address this one. Don't give up. I want you to talk a little more about that.
Yeah, well, you know, Jesus says keep on asking and keep on praying. And so don't think because you've asked once you drop it. You can pray for a person for a long time. And so just keep on asking, and God tells us to do that. So let's do it, and we'll see great things happen.
All right, that's good. Now we're going to jump ahead. Day seven, admit that it's not about you, and you referenced part of the Lord's Prayer. Talk about that for a moment.
Well, when Jesus says, when they say, Lord, teach us to pray, and he says, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Notice that he begins, it's all about God, his will and his honor and his glory. And we pretty often come to God and it's all about us. Give me this and this for me and me. It comes later. We're supposed to ask for our needs and our requests. But it starts, it's about him, not about us. And so the more we can make our prayers for his glory. You know, even if you're asking for something that's selfish, if you say, but in God, I will give you the praise and I'll give you glory if you do this, that kind of turns a me prayer into a God prayer.
And doesn't he just refine our desires as we go, as we bring them to him? He kind of refines them in a way that are so in line with his will.
Yeah, so then that, we get to a great confidence in prayer when you get to that point where what we're asking for is all about increasing God's kingdom and bringing him glory and his will, and that's what matters to us. And then he's very happy to grant our requests.
Wow, appreciate it. Well, we sure appreciate your time today, Ron. As we wrap up, I know someone's listening today whom God is stirring to engage with him on a deeper level in dialogue. I'm wondering if you pray for that person who's just been moved by what you've had to say and they want to respond to God now.
Yeah, I'll be happy to. Dear Father, thank you so much for Susie and for everyone listening to this program. And I just pray for everyone that's caught any bit of this program. And everyone has needs, and I just lift up those needs, whatever they are, those heartfelt cries. And I pray that people would take the challenge, the prayer dare, and pray. And begin to be specific and see God work in their lives and begin to record answers so that they see that, wow, God does care about me and about this world. And so I pray for a new emphasis and commitment to prayer on the part of all the people listening today, and so that we see your power in our lives and see great things begin to happen that only you can do. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Ron, if people want to find you or learn more about your ministry, where can they find you?
I'd go to theprayerdare.com.
That's easy enough. Theprayerdare.com, the name of the book again, The Prayer Dare. Take the challenge that will transform your relationship with God. Author Ron Kincaid. Thanks, Ron, so much for your time. We appreciate it today.
All right.
God bless you.
Okay.
All right. Well, you've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson, and you can find a podcast of this interview up on our website at faithradionet.com. And I want you to share it with a friend. If you've got a friend who needs some encouragement in prayer, remember, it's easy as a click of a button. That podcast will be uploaded in just a few short minutes, and you, with one click of a button, can email this show, Twitter it, Facebook it, and it's a great stewardship of gifts. If you've got a friend who lives out of town, share it with them. It'll be a great blessing to them. And tomorrow's the big day, our great Mother's Day giveaway. We want you to join us. We're going to have two gift baskets to give away to the best stories. Tell us a mom story. If you're a mom, you can tell us a kid's story, or just tell us a testimony of what it means to you to be a mom. I'll be joined by Kendra Smiley, author, speaker, and all-around parenting expert. We're going to have a great time. We want to hear your funny stories. We want to hear your heartfelt stories. But together, we're just going to celebrate moms and motherhood and the whole idea of what a privilege it is to parent these children and raise them up. So that's tomorrow, Friday. Come with your stories, and a couple of you are going to win some great gift baskets. Well, guess what? The Lord wants you to last long and finish strong, and he's the one who'll keep you strong to the end. Have a blessed and wonderful afternoon.